That you chose to be here today, and don't be shy about the for me calling you holy. That's your goal, and if you do not make it, then you don't make it. So it's very important for you to make it. Why? Because it's not up to you. All you have to do is surrender your will, and the Lord will shower you with His holiness. So please, don't be so shy about the word holy. Because the Lord says, because I'm holy, you must be holy. And if you look at the scriptures, do not love the world. There is no holiness there. There's darkness. The Bible does not tell us that we cannot live in the world. But it says we should not love the things of the world in such a way that takes us away from the love of God. And that's the purpose. So today I'm going to be talking about a subject that it's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Some of you may even leave this place a little bit upset. Some of you may say the pastor shouldn't have said that. So please hang in tight and pray that the Lord will give us the right approach to a subject that is very touchy. Very touchy. And I could just go around it and forget about it. But we cannot afford to do this. The closer we get to the end of times, we need to have the courage to stand up for what is right and speak. Okay? So, the faces of paganism. Now, anybody here knows a pagan? Oh, you know a pagan. She was the only brave one to raise her hand. What about if I tell you there are pagans everywhere and they are multiplying like a pest? Even inside of our church, there are pagans. That is the first statement that you probably did not expect from coming from me. Even inside of Adventism, there is pagans. So let's define what pagan is so you realize what I mean by pagan, okay? So you will notice that maybe is not maybe the same way you understand the word pagan. Now, in order to help us to understand what a paganism is, sometimes we go to dictionaries. But guess what? Some dictionaries, they are biased. They are trying to reflect, they are trying to be very careful not to offend anybody. We are in a day and age that only those that likes to offend has the right to offend. But those that are nice and kind, they are easy target. Have you noticed that's the way our society is right now? Good is a good target. Bad, don't touch it. Stay away or you'll be called a hater. So you have to be careful. Define paganism. Vocabulary.com. I put a source so you know where I got this information. I'm going to go a little faster on this part, but I hope that you catch the meaning, okay? You could be considered a pagan if you do what? If you don't believe in religion or you worship more than one God. First of all, today in the message, you will notice that this definition does not really apply to this book. Because according to this book, even if you have one God, you still can be a pagan. The only problem is that if you are worshiping the wrong God. If you have one or a dozen or a thousand of them, or you have one for each day of the year, like some churches do, so you have to understand that is paganism. The original pagans were followers of an ancient religion that worship several gods. That means poly, means many, theist, gods, the one who worship many gods. That's what polytheistic means. Today, pagan is used to describe someone who doesn't go to synagogue or the church or to a mosque. They had to put their mosque there to make sure that people don't get offended. And it could be that they worship several gods at once, or they have no interest in God at all. In other words, even if you claim to be an atheist, you can be a pagan. Why? Because do you think that atheists worship anybody or anything? Anybody? Do you think that an atheist worship anything? Let me say this to you, and this is scientific, or you can research if you want to. Every human being that has control of their faculties do worship something. It's so natural to us, it's part of our nature. We do worship no matter what. If we don't worship the God from heaven, we'll make a God, we'll make something, but we will worship, because as much as we need to breathe, the air to breathe, we need to worship someone. And that is a state of the mind that every human being, you can search history, you can search from any civilization, there is always the element of worship in a human life. Other things that is also, we are all social. We need each other. We need another human being. I don't know how many of you drive a long distance and then you go for the radio. And sometimes you don't even pay attention to what the people are saying on the radio. It's just that feeling to hear another human voice. That feeling is because we are social beings. We are religious by nature. We are social by nature. That is part of what we are. Religious people sometimes use pagan as a put down to describe the unreligious, or as godless and uncivilized. Definition of a pagan means, as a noun, a person who follow a polytheistic or many gods or pre-Christian religion, not a Christian or Jew or Muslim. There they go again. They want to make sure they cover all the bases so that they don't offend anybody. Now, a person who does not acknowledge your God, and notice that they put the God there in a small g. So anything that you call yourself God. And another words that people use, Gentile, heathen, infidel, irreligious, hostile, or indifferent to religion. And I will add there an atheist too. Do you know the Britannica? You folks are familiar with the Britannica, right? It's a source of information. So when I go there too, you see that basically they repeat almost the same thing. Christian term used to designate those religions that do not worship the God of Abraham, the figure central to both Christianity and to other Abrahamic religions like Judaism and Islam. Now, I'm going a little bit fast because we have other texts that we'd like to share with you. Christians have used the terms, this is repeating again, paganism or pagan, which is typically carry connotation, demeaning way to put people down, to draw a clear distinction between themselves and those who they believe are worshiping false gods. That's why they used to define what a pagan is. And as you look into the history of paganism, Christianity emerged in the Roman Empire during the first century, after Christ. A monotheistic means for one God, worship one God religion. It maintained that there was only one true God, whom it identified as the God of Abraham, a deity also venerable by Judaism and also Muslims, they claim. Most other traditions in the empire were polytheistic, believing in a range of gods and goddesses. For Christians, this polytheistic tradition were idolatries devoted to deities who were in fact demons. Now, are you going to be surprised that I quote this from a Catholic source? They are talking about how the church was established in Rome and how Rome has this society full of gods. And I was surprised when they said they're deities who were in fact demons. He's from Paganism, and this is from a Catholic source. Now, here's the Catholic Encyclopedia also on the subject saying this. Paganism in the broadest sense includes all religions other than the true one revealed by God. Do you have any hint of what they are talking about? Which one is the true one that they think it is? They are talking about themselves, right? Most of the people, when they call other people pagan, they say, my religion is okay, your is pagan. And so that particular religion is saying the same thing. We are the true one and everybody else are not. And in a narrow sense, all except Christianity, Judaism, and of course Islam, the term is also used as equivalent to polytheism. We are almost there. Today's paganism. A lady was writing a thesis, and here is her name, Sarah, in order to get a master's degree. And that's October 15 is when she defended her thesis, University of Vermont. And it says, contemporary paganism, also referred to as new paganism, earth religion, and nature religion, is a growing religious movement that places nature as the center of their spiritual experience. Have you heard about anything about the climate change lately? How many times a week you hear that? Depends what if you're watching television. It's over and over. You know, like you are in a room, and there in the bathroom, there is this leaking water dripping. It won't stop unless you get up and go there, you turn the thing down. It is over, and it keeps hitting. I'm not saying that they don't have a point, or I'm not going to be talking about politics from the pulpit, but they keep hitting the same note. And you know why they do this? Because it works. You repeat a lie or a kind of shaky statement over and over and over to the point that the people take something that before was not sure as a sure thing. Evidence is not necessarily something that is true. Evidence sometimes is something that has been repeated too many times. And you'll be amazed how many times you yourself have made a statement that you have no idea if it's true or not, but the reason why you make it is because somebody else already did. We cop things. We like to cop pagan from the late Latin paganus, pagan. Actually, all that it meant originally was the person who was a villager, a person who was a civilian, a person who did not have the skills to fight. Therefore, was saying, like in a sense, a weaker person, a person who has not is not too strong. That was the word pagan originally meant, but it took a totally different meaning. Now, have anybody seen this temple before? Some of you travel a lot, so I was wondering if you... This is in London, England. Buddhist. This one has just been opened, inaugurated, have been working for many, many, many years with thousands and thousands of works and a huge amount of money that came from all over the world. This is the second greatest Buddhist temple just opened in New Jersey, USA. Buddhist, if you see the civilization, this called my attention. Do you know why, as a Seventh-day Adventist, somebody who loves the Bible, do you know why they call my attention to this particular one? Because the dragon is all around it, saying, it's mine. It gives me an idea of Genesis 3. It says dragon, and they call it Dragon Temple in Thailand. Do you know this temple? Yes, this temple has been around and is going to be around for a while. I told you in the beginning that some of you may feel a little bit uncomfortable for the things that we're going to say here, but it is what it is. Now, anybody here, I know that some of you, he speaks Spanish. How many of you speak Spanish here? All right, some of you. Do you know what he is holding? Anybody knows what he is holding? It is Aparecida. Maria Aparecida. Anybody knows what Aparecida means? That appear, look, for you those who speak English, just look at the first part of the word, appear. This actually, it was a doll used by African slaves for their voodoo kind of, devil stuff. They had the ceremonies. But in those days in Brazil, the Roman Catholic Church was very strong. And if they would find any slave doing those worship, the slave would have a lot of spanking and sometimes even can lose their lives. So what they did is that they were about to be caught, so they decided to toss this little doll in a river. And thought in the river and thought, free. Now I won't be caught, I won't be in trouble. But some people fishing through the net, and they pulled the net. What? First, when they got the net, they thought, we got a fish. We got a fish. And there was this statue, a doll. Everybody could tell this is an African object. It's an object of worship. But the fisher people decided to take that to their homes. And they sat in a little corner. And somebody got the idea that who knows, maybe this is a spiritual object that may bring blessing to my home. He started telling the neighbors. And remember, all these people are Catholic. And told them, and the neighbors started coming to his house, to their house. And they started a shrine. And they put some candles around this doll. And he said, what is the name? What is the name? What is the name? It just appeared. And that's what got the name Aparecida. Means she showed up. No, she didn't show up. Somebody fished her out of the bottom of the... And this went on and on. Today, one of the largest Catholic temples in the world is in Aparecida. It is enormous. It's huge. You can walk for miles inside of the whole project. It has a radio station as powerful as any radio station in the whole South America. And so the church said, this is pagan. This is pagan. But the number grew to a point the church gave in. So the church decided, in Vatican, they decided, what do we do? Are we going to tell those Brazilian nuts that they are worshiping something that is not worth a thing? No, let's get on board. Let's worship with them because they are sending a lot of money to the Vatican with this thing. And it became a money-making machine. If you go to Brazil, any corner of the whole country, if you say the word Aparecida, they are talking about the doll. That crown that the doll is wearing is worth more than all the money that I have made in my life that I will make until I die and probably all of you combined. Just that crown in her head. Why is he lifting it up? The article says that he was telling them, don't worship Brazilians, don't worship money, worship her. Yes. This, so we don't want to discriminate, this is the Greek Orthodox. What do you see there? Images everywhere. You walk inside many churches, all you see is images. Those images are not there just to decorate. They are there to motivate worship. This in China. This is in India. And by the way, India is all over the place. They have Muslims, they have Catholics. This is the Mormons, United States, Washington, D.C., Japan, and Greek. This, when I first saw this, I thought this was in Greece. No, this is southern Italy. And here's another one of the same. Now, Genesis 3, verse 1 to 5. Open your Bibles, please. Genesis 3, 1 to 5. If I ask you where false worship started, any of you can say to me where? Anybody has an idea? Where did false worship start? In heaven. But it didn't last very long there. But it lasted long enough to take one third of all the angels from heaven. Do you know what a one third is? Any pastor that loses 10 members gets some gray hair and lose some hair. But imagine a pastor losing one third of the whole membership. And the perfect pastor did. The greatest pastor at all, he did. Why? Because it was not his decision to keep them, it was their decision to stay in. And they decided to listen to somebody else. And that's the problem with paganism. People always choosing to listen to something else. Instead of stick to the truth and to walk in the path of truth, they want for curiosity or for some reason, they decide to surrender their minds to something else because it's colorful, it's noisy, or it's attractive, or for the sake of curiosity. Oh, let me just see, what is this all about? And that's when the devil comes and punches the lights out of our brains by getting in and making a mess of what we know that is the truth. The beginning of paganism on earth. Now, here it says, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more cunning. By the way, this is a perception, a cultural perception. Serpents are not more intelligent than any other animal. This was a serpent being used by Satan, just like a puppet. Serpents don't talk. Have you ever seen a serpent that talks? No serpents talk. This was Satan using the serpent to mimic, to make magic. Have you seen on television sometimes people make things appear out of nowhere? And some so-called Christians even pay to go and be deceived. Some people think, oh, pastor, this is just entertainment. It's not that. We know that that's not real. So if you know that's not real and you want to be pay somebody to fool you and then you become offended to be called a fool when you like foolish things and you like the people to deceive you. And the Bible says clearly, don't get yourself in that condition. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he, it is he, said to the woman, has God indeed. Do you know what that means? What is the word that starts with D? Doubt. When you say to somebody, oh, I just came from outside and there was nobody there. You'd be amazed what happens to the person when you say, really? Immediately the person says, does this person know something that I didn't see? It could be that I didn't see it. Immediately the doubt starts shaking all that you thought was a fact. And he did. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said this? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say, do not eat of every tree? Did God want to starve them? God didn't say every tree. God says, there is one that you should not eat. But the doubt, when you twist information, you put just a little bit to it, and then it becomes what is what's true, becomes pagan, because it's no longer correct. And then verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, and by the way, brothers and sisters, here is one thing that I hope you as a Christian, I noticed during the Sabbath school lesson, there was some discussion about this. When you talk to somebody who does not believe the same way you believe, don't try to hammer your idea of truth on a head that is not open. You're not supposed to open somebody's head. That's a crime. You can be arrested for that. It's an assault. Don't hit people in the head to the point that you open their skull. When people do not want to listen, that's what the Bible says. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. Don't try to force your beliefs to somebody. Offer them with compassion, with kindness, but also understand that if the person chooses not to listen to you, back off, move on. Because you are not giving, and this coming from a pastor, you are not giving the responsibility to convert anybody. The Holy Spirit does the conversion, not you. All that you are asked to do is to be the messenger. You are only to bring the message. You need to be the channel. And praise God if you're their channel. And if you are their channel, don't go around saying, oh, I brought this one to Christ. I brought that one to Christ. I brought that one for Christ. And then Satan says, oh, you have no idea how many you push away from Christ. So don't get credit for something that doesn't belong to you. That is stealing. We can steal psychologically. We can steal physically. Don't steal something from anybody. And then verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. I wonder how many of you have sat at a table in a restaurant or at home, and you heard this voice said, you shall not eat. Maybe that much or too much. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Because once that you touch it, you already got some pounds, right? Just don't touch it. Or at least you die. There are people who dig their graves with their own teeth. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And by the way, October is the month when Satan is saying this every day on television, on books, on movies, everywhere. You will not die. Have you ever been in a funeral of somebody from another denomination? When the people say, oh, when she was here, in this earth, she was this, but now, or you see a baseball game, and now they are, you know, fine for the World Series, and it was hit a home run, and then, you know, I don't know if they are pointing the ball that went out, or they are pointing for somebody that they said that they want to pay homage to someone that is in heaven, according to them. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. And here is the most, one of the worst teachings of paganism. God knows good and evil. And anybody who does good and evil is like God. That is the first time Satan created the first pagan god for humans to worship. That was the beginning of paganism on earth. Exodus 20, verse 3 says this: "You shall have how many gods besides God?" How many? I want you to not to fall asleep. So how many?
None.
What about a little bit of money just to, you know, for security purpose? Should I have money a little bit just as a god? Or shall I worship my children to the point that I let them get away with anything? Should I worship the pastor to the point that I let him get away with any statement that is not biblical? Should I let anyone use me as a target for their paganism? You shall not have any other gods. Because do you know why God is saying you should not have any other? Because there is no other. And God doesn't want you to be a fool. I don't know about you. How many parents do we have here? Parents. You'll be offended if anybody calls your child a fool, right? You don't want to hear that. That's not something that we want anybody to say about our own children. You fool. Oh, you raised a fool. Nobody wants this. Can you imagine? God does not want us to be fools either. And then he said, he continued by saying, don't do this foolish thing. You go to the forest, you cut a tree, and part of the tree you use to cook your meal, but another one, oh, this one is so nice. Let me carve in a format of a human being. And then you take that and put it in a nice place in your house, and you start to bow, oh God, oh God. Do you think this only pagans did this in the past? Pagans are still doing this today in many very beautiful churches today. It's the same thing going on. Now, it started with these two guys. One decided, said, I don't want to be pagan. I want to do things the way God wants. The other one said, now I want to worship me, moi. I'm better than anybody. It has to be my way. Here's another picture. This is the planets, right? Have you noticed that we use the name of some of these planets every single week? What is the name of today? Be careful. Some of you went for it. So what is the name of today? Sabbath. But some people call it Saturday. Why do they people call it Saturday? Because in the past, somebody decided to create a pagan god and decided to call that god Saturn. And it says, you know what? We need to give him a day. The sun had a day. And then you can see there, Viernes, Miércoles, and all those things that we say in Spanish, same thing in English. Why we keep repeating something over and over, and we have been doing it for thousands of years? Nobody stops us. No, Sunday is not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week, period. But we keep repeating. Why? Because somebody said, and they want to worship their god, and we keep repeating the same thing. Let me pick on my brothers and sisters, Hispanics ones here too. They call the first day of the week, as they call also in I don't know if it's Tagalog or Domingo. Yeah, Mingo. Yeah, Domingo. They cut for short, wet, so short Mingo. Okay, what does Domingo means? What is the name? What is the name? Don Juan, Señor, you know, Mister. Domingo means the Lord's Day. So thousands and millions of people are saying this every week because the Roman church decided, I want everybody to say this. I want them to say Domingo, which means the Lord's Day. Is it? But for the Babylonians, was. And then after Middle Persians copied also, and then came the Greeks, and passed on that to the Romans. The Romans passed to the church, and the church brought to the West, and here we are. And it's so sad when we hear good Seventh-day Adventists, people who knows the truth, repeating those false things just because of a bunch of things that somebody decided to name the planets, and they create this system that many people are using today. Now, what is fascinating about this picture? Paganism starts in a very stage of your life. Do you know what is impressive about, by the way, I did not create this picture, because some of the pictures, sometimes I create them, I mix. Now this one, it was taken by a parent. I don't know about you, but let me put some thought in the mind of this little kid. He is saying like this, what is this ugly thing doing here? What in the world is this? Ooh, this looks like the devil. What is this kid saying? What is this going to this child's brain? This, when I see this picture, what I see is a child sacrifice, a dedication of a child to a pagan god. This, it is what is happening here. Do you see what I see? Every single time you put a child in this position, and by the way, some of you here, I'm going to be picking on you parents. Sometimes your child says, oh, let me go to Disneyland. Oh, yeah, Disneyland. Oh, that's a safe place, Disneyland. And then there's this place where there is a scary ride, where there is things over there, and your child goes through that. And they laugh, and sometimes they're scared, but they're all the bodies of them, and they want to pretend that it's not scary at all. And it stays an impression on their mind that it will never, ever go away, ever. Paganism, you find many ways. They find many different ways to show it. Be sure to do everything I have commanded you. Do not add anything to it, and do not take anything from it. Don't do it. Just for the comfort, don't do it. Don't change. Remember, I used this here last time. I'm going to use it again. I like it so much because it's right to the point. Two altars. One is represent the truth, and one represents paganism. Yes, in that one there is a lamb, and the other one has what? Paganism. So one is God's offering to us, the other one is what we offer to our pagan gods. The spelling is a little bit different, isn't it? Pagan is worship the sun, S-U-N, but the real Christians, Bible believers, worship the sun, S-O-N. There's no difference there. Now, I don't know how many of you here have been, I hope nobody over here will say I'm still here, but if in case, don't feel offended, please, okay? I'm not here to offend anyone, because let me make this statement. Every human being is going to be judged by God. Pastor Elson is not part of the jury. I've never been asked to judge anybody. I'm talking about here religious systems. I'm not talking about individuals. That is up to God to decide, okay? So I make that disclaim to make sure that I'm not offending anyone. But have you been in a Catholic church before, a Roman Catholic church before? Right? So you know when the priest is about to celebrate Mass, he raised, I don't know what he called that anymore, but it has a sun and has even the lights of it. It's a sun. Do you remember that at one time the priest used to cut a little circle inside of their hair? I don't think they do that anymore. But every priest, every Catholic priest, used to shave a little circle as a symbol of worship of the sun. It went for thousands of years. It's all about the sun, S-U-N. Has nothing to do with the other sun. The world, the world and everything that people want in it are passing away. But the person who does what God wants will live forever. Brothers and sisters, I know that the time is light, but I'm going to finish, okay? Feel free, if you want to stand up and leave, it's up to you, but I'm going to finish. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. I don't want you to misinterpret what Paul is saying here. He's not saying for you not to have any kind of relationship with other human beings. He's not asking us to sell our car, sell our house, and take off and go to the mountain and hide there in the mountain. That's not what this verse is all about. He's talking about don't offer yourself to embrace all the people are offering. And by the way, I don't know if you understand, but if you look in our society, there is a very small minority in our society that has an agenda. And you turn on the television, you hear that. You open a book, it's there. They are changing the laws on the schools. They are changing everything. It is a very tiny little group, but they are so aggressive. They are so pushy that they are changing the world. They are changing the world. And how embarrassing that is for us, that we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be changing the world, us. And yet evil is doing a much better job. Do not touch. Oh, there is the do not touch again. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. By the way, do not touch an unclean. Even your cell phone can be unclean. Even your computer can be unclean. Your television, your talking, your listening. When it says do not touch, it means don't be part of. Don't bring something and make that something that's part of you. Some young people, without knowing, because the influence of another young people, let me try this only once. And they become hooked. And any stuff, don't touch it. And Josiah threw out all the hateful idols. And you can read more about him in 2 Chronicles as he bring a revolution of the country. One man, one young man, he started being a king at the age of 8. And by 26, he had changed his whole country. He changed the worship, everything. And it says like this, while Josiah lived, the people obeyed the Lord, the God of their ancestors, because he was determined to turn his whole country to God. And they were all pagans. In Jerusalem, there was the Solomon Temple. And you know that Solomon himself, many people do not know this, but Solomon built more pagan temples in Jerusalem than anybody else. Did you know that? Solomon was one of the most pagan kings ever. He married so many women. And you know what happened to men when they tried to please their ladies? They do a lot of foolish things sometimes, and he did a lot of them. He built pagan temples to please their pagan wives. The Passover meal was eating. This is when the people came back from Babylon. They came back from Babylon, and they were very messed up. They live in that pagan empire for 70 years. Some were born there. Some of them were said, I'm Babylonian by birth. They come to Israel. Now it's time to go back to our God. But they have their little pagan gods with them. Ezra says, all that stuff has to be out. Some married Babylonians. And Ezra told them, here, come, right here, stand here. Don't cry, don't move. And as their wives were passing with their children, marching back to Babylon, they were there standing and they have to watch. He says, because you had no business and marry somebody who will destroy your faith in Christ. And that you can see that in Ezra. It was a powerful, very powerful reform for the people to go back to God. Do you know Jesus Christ said this? You cannot serve two masters. At the same time, you will do what? Hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and not take care of the other one. You cannot serve God and money. In some verse says, mammon. The word mammon in Portuguese is papaya. So I don't like to use that because it comes to my mind, the word papaya, mammon. And so it says money. I'm going to say this quickly. I was in a church, as a pastor in a church, and I mentioned this before. There was this church elder that every time that he had the offering, to the appeal for the offering, he would come to the pulpit and says, Lord, bless those that can give and bless those that cannot give. Have you heard a prayer like that before? I hope, my brothers and sisters, that you never make such a offensive prayer before God. Is there anyone that cannot give? Do you know anybody who cannot give? I know one. The dead. Every single human being can give. The only one who cannot give are the ones who does not care about God at all. So if you say, oh, I don't have enough to give, maybe your problem is not how much you have, it's how much you spend. So your problem is something else. So please be sure to understand this. Jesus Christ said also, in vain. Anybody here knows what a vanity is? Anybody care to say, what is vanity? Vanity is what? Idol worship, paganism. Vanity is paganism. Do you know what they did with their pagan gods? They carved them with gold, with precious things, so that they become the center of attention. Vanity. Vanity is self-worship. When people spend more money putting gold on their neck than on their bank, and they're using for the right reasons, it's just foolishness of life. I told you that some of you will be offended by what we have to say, but we have to say, we have no choice. In vain they worship me. Why they worship me? Because they are actually worshiping themselves. They are teaching doctrines that are not my doctrines. They are teaching paganism. They are teaching something that doesn't belong to me. And I'm about to close, okay? Matthew 7, 21 and 20 to 23. Pay attention to this if you forgot all the other verses. I use this quite a few times. Those are the words of Jesus Christ on the most powerful sermon that he preached when he was here. I mean, when he was as human here, okay? Because he's still here. He was in a Sermon on the Mount when he said this. Not everyone, no matter how sophisticated a temple that they have, no matter how much billions they spend on their temples, it doesn't matter how many members, if they have 4 billion people worshiping there, it doesn't matter. Numbers do not matter. Truth is truth, no matter if it's one or if there's 1 billion. Truth is truth. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who or she who does the will of my Father in heaven. What do you think happens when you go to a church when people say, oh, the Ten Commandments is no longer, you know, it was nailed to the cross. There's no more law. There are churches preaching this right now. Many will say to me in that day, oh, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders. The word wonders, it means many miracles in your name. And this is what the Lord has to say them to them in the last days. And I hope those words are not meant to you. It says this clearly. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I have no clue who you are. I have never met you. I don't see you. I have no clue. And this, it says, why I have no idea who you are? Because you don't keep my laws. You enjoy your freedom to do what is wrong. May the Lord bless you, my brother and sister. Don't allow paganism to be present in your lives. We are getting ready for the kingdom. Are you? Do you want to be in the kingdom? Let the Lord see your hand. Do you want to be in the kingdom? I want to be in the kingdom. I know that this type of message may make people feel uncomfortable, but you need to be uncomfortable before you get comfortable. May the Lord bless you with the courage to do the right thing. Step away from paganism because it's all over the place. Filter your life. Let Jesus come in and he will help you. God bless. Yes, he is the one who leads me. And he will lead you too. Let's stand up and sing. And then let's go down and enjoy a good meal, a good fellowship too.